With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude?
Yes, sir.
I want to speak for yourself. The most fearless show in sports. Coming up, we'll tell you if Russell Westbrook needs to reinvent himself. But we start with Kawhi Leonard. We've all heard the stories about Mark Twain and the exaggeration of his death in 1897. Twain was visiting London when the American media heard rumors that he'd taken ill and was on his deathbed. The truth was, Twain's cousin was ill, and Twain told a reporter for the New York Journal, quote, "The report of my death was an exaggeration." I bring that up because I'm going to start a rumor about LeBron James today. The NBA's King James era is terminally ill. I give it 6 to 12 months. LeBron has contracted Kawhi Leonard disease, a rare form of basketball that killed Greg Popovich, the Toronto Raptors, and various members of the sports media. The thing about Kawhi disease is that it initially lifts you to your highest level before ravaging your entire body. Kawhi led the Spurs and the Raptors to NBA titles before leaving those franchises reeling. Kawhi's relocation to the Staples Center will initially elevate LeBron James. For the first time in the King James era, the chosen one will have a true rival. LeBron versus Kawhi is the NBA's best rivalry since Magic versus Larry. Race powered Johnson versus Bird. Proximity fuels LeBron versus Kawhi. These guys have to share the same city and the same building. They're both looking to drive a third different team to an NBA title. LeBron is perhaps the largest individual brand in American sports, partnering with one of the largest corporate brands in American sports, the Los Angeles Lakers. Kawhi is an odd, difficult-to-market force of nature attempting to legitimize arguably the worst brand in American sports, the Los Angeles Clippers. LeBron is Hollywood and in constant pursuit of a reputation that extends well beyond basketball. Kawhi seemingly just wants to be the best player in his sport. LeBron James wants to be Muhammad Ali. Kawhi Leonard wants to be Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. The contrast between these two is fascinating and will be a source of 1,000 different NBA storylines heading into next season. I already know how this thing is ending. You don't survive Kawhi disease, especially not at 35, when you're more interested in making movies than playing hoops, especially when you're trying to sell Boogie Cousins, Rajon Rondo, and Danny Green as terrific acquisitions. Kawhi has already done significant damage to LeBron's reputation. Paul George wouldn't freely join LeBron with the Lakers, but he forced his way out of Oklahoma City to play alongside Kawhi with the Clippers. That's like me watching an Instagram model leave my table at Wally's to walk barefoot across broken glass to give Jim Jackson her number. I can lie to myself and say, she wasn't my type. Or I can acknowledge the fact that Iceberg Jim is a teeny bit better looking than me. Kawhi looks a lot better than LeBron right now. The environment around LeBron looks just as toxic as Kevin Durant said. The whole super team era is dead. It looks weak. The only stars who want to be relegated to spot-up shooters by LeBron are agent Rich Paul's clients and the corpse of Carmelo Anthony. I can see LeBron forcing a trade to a title contender by the 2020 trade deadline. That's the worst-case prognosis. LeBron is dead by February. Best case, LeBron holds on to the playoffs and Kawhi finishes the King James era in the postseason. But make no mistake, I'm not exaggerating. LeBron is done. And Jim Jackson looks better than me.
Iceberg.
Message. All right.
Joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analyst Iceberg Jim Jackson and Stephen All About the Action Jackson.
Cuzzo.
Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Did Kawhi's move to L.A. kill the LeBron era?
No, it didn't. You got me on the ropes. I ain't gonna lie. Well stated. Got me.
You got us all in a standing eight count.
Right. Everybody buzzing. But I will say this. He didn't kill LeBron in this era of dominance for him, but he's forcing LeBron to fight right now. And this is the first time we've seen LeBron really have to fight. We tried to pit him against Kobe. They never matched up in the playoffs together, so it didn't work. Now LeBron is somebody who's formidable right there in your building and is trying to take the landlord, trying to take the tenant, trying to get that signature on the paper saying, we run L.A. So it's interesting, this energy about this rivalry is really placed on LeBron. He's the commonality. He's the common denominator. Think about it. We're excited as Clippers. We're excited as the NBA because we see parity. We see dynamic duos all across the league. Mm-hmm. But let's stay in Staples Center. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, both of those guys have one thing in common. They both looked at the Lakers and once upon a time and said, hell no. Ain't playing for y'all. And then like LeBron said, hell no to you too.
Yeah.
I ain't playing for y'all. And found their way to Clipper land. Mm-hmm. That's about LeBron. And as anybody knows who's watched the fight, it ain't about your first hit. It's about when you get hit, when they get a chance to respond. We'll see what LeBron does in response.
Well, three things. One, I'm glad you cleaned it up at the end about the tiny bit, because it's a huge disparity but the looks here, okay? Huge disparity.
Wow. Don't show that's what your mom said.
I know, but that's, yeah. What, that's what your girl said. That's
what,
why you bring my mother into it, man?
Mama.
Now we doing mama jokes now?
Hey, listen, let me circle back around, because the girl that came to the table didn't say that. But
oh,
anyway.
Second, it's hard to say rivalry as in Magic and Bird because theirs was so organic starting in college. And then the championship runs during the 80s. It made it so intense. The teams fueled the rivalry a lot more, and the hate, the love-hate between the two took it to an all-time level. So I don't know if we'll get there with LeBron and Kawhi, but I do believe it adds so much more intrigue into what we're doing as far as watching basketball. And the third part of this is, will Kawhi dethrone him? Probably, but it's all timing. You got to think about it. LeBron is on the back end of his career at 16 years.
Right.
Kawhi is only 28 years old. If we go back to 2014... When LeBron was at the peak, in that 14 finals, my man averaged about 28 points a game.
Right. But Kawhi got the
MVP. I know, but he got the MVP. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying, but what I'm saying was you go back and forth.
I hear you.
You know, in time, it's a little bit different. But I love this fact of this. And you said this. Both wanted to play for the Lakers, even Paul George and Kawhi, at one point.
Right.
They wanted to. So is the X factor, like you talked about, is it LeBron?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the Laker franchise is still there. But kudos for them for saying, you know what? That's the big dog. Okay, we want to go through him. We don't want to go around him. We don't want to play with him. And I think it just adds so much more intrigue going into the season by those two joining together.
First off, let me say this. The only reason we're having this conversation is because KD hurt. Okay, we talking about the throne and best in the league. KD hurt, so this is why Kawhi and LeBron are the only two in this conversation. Second,
hold for 1 second. That's an interesting point that I disagree with.
Okay,
if KD were healthy and Kyrie in Brooklyn, they were healthy. You still talking about right here in the city that matters the most, L.A. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George versus LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
No, what I'm saying, if the season don't end like KD did, hurt. If he play and they win the championship, we having a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I respect Kawhi's move because, and LeBron is really the worried one because he's the one that's about to get dethroned. Kawhi's not on the throne. LeBron is on the throne in L.A. He's still a king in L.A. LeBron is coming to his, Kawhi's coming to his city to try to change the things for the Clippers and to get on the throne. So I feel like LeBron is worried because now you got two guys on another team in your same building, one fresh off a championship, like I said, one that had an opportunity to go here, to come to the Lakers and didn't come. He's regretting that. That's why he was cool with this trade. Paul George regretted not signing with the Clippers and going to OKC for that year. He regretted because now, look, they traded him. Now he's here. Now he make it like he wasn't loyal to Russ.
Yep.
Now he make it like he stabbed Russ in the back. So everything is backfiring on him. LeBron has to worry about these two guys because they both have a lot to prove, along with a great owner. I love the owner for the Clippers. I think he's going to do everything to give these guys all the ammunition they need to be successful. But LeBron, you definitely have to be worried.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's pick a winner. We have a fight, and it may be inadvertent. I don't think right now there's animosity. These guys probably like each other. But sometimes the matchup just says you got to fight each other. You're in the same building. I think Kawhi's going to win this fight. I think he may win it by the trade deadline. He's certainly going to win it by the postseason. LeBron's going down. This is Holmes versus Ali.
So we're talking about fight regular season or a team winning the championship and another team not winning the championship?
Oh, I think both. I think there's a regular season fight, and I think there's going to be a postseason end all to be all. And I think Kawhi wins them both.
Well, I can't give them both. I can't give them both.
I give them both. I would say this. Look, the Clippers was a deep team, had the best bench maybe in history. They we talk about Montrez and Lou Williams combined, what, 36 points? That's the most in NBA history off the bench. So we're talking about an all-time bench, and all they needed was a cherry on top, and they got two. So that's one. But let's talk about what Jimmy is talking about, because this is going to be more than the objective analysis, who wins the championship. It's going to be how you got there.
Right.
And it's going to be how that rivalry felt. And this is why I think this is going to be a big rivalry in terms of duos in NBA history. When you talk about Magic and Bird and how it was organic from college to the pros, the teams, the racial aspects, you talk about this one, this is the biggest brand in the sport versus the worst brand in the sport. You got the best player versus the best two-way player. You got one of them residing where the other two wanted to play. But because you there, I don't want to be there. I want to go beat it up. That's why I think this is going to have the ingredients necessary for us to say this is an all-time rivalry. Who's going to win in the end? I really think it's the Clippers, strip away my fandom, because they had the deeper team. Let's go back before all the acquisitions. What were we saying? If that Clippers team gets something, they are it. What were we saying about the Lakers? They need a lot. What are we saying about the Lakers now? They still need something.
They still need something.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be the Clippers.
Let's pull back just a little bit, because I think it's very important. What made the Boston Lakers rivalry so tough is they met in the finals. Okay? They met in the finals. Unfortunately, we're not going to see that. So, but what we will be able to see is if they can meet in the Western Conference Finals for the next 3 to 4 years.
All home games.
Okay, you see what I'm saying?
All home games.
Now, that narrative takes on, I think, a storyline of its own, because these two teams, these particular players, are fighting to get to the championship. Who can contend? Who can keep one out of that race? It's going to be very important to how, I think, at the end of the day, the storyline changes. Now, for the Lakers, I want to say this. The Clippers are built right now a lot better for the short term and long term than the Lakers.
Yes, sir.
The Lakers still have some moves to make. Yeah. Let's see what happens during the course of the season, what additions that the Lakers make to try to contend with what we have over here at the Clippers. Because I still think we're a long way away from that aspect of where we're going. But the makings from an NBA perspective and living in L.A., think about it. Every game you go to, you got the Clippers over here playing with two great superstars. You got the Lakers over here. You can't lose if you're a basketball fan in the NBA, more importantly, if you live here in L.A.
And you got to think about it, too. You got, when they do play, you got the top three two-way players in the game, Kawhi and Paul on one team.
Yes.
And you got AD on the other side. But then look at this, the Clippers. They can have the best backcourt defense ever.
Big time.
Patrick Beverley, Paul George.
And Kawhi.
And Kawhi? That's scary.
Yeah.
Ron Harper.
That's scary. Yeah.
Ron Harper, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan might be the only thing to compare to it.
Right.
But look, I'm going to say this, and you're an L.A. born and bred. You've lived out here in L.A. long and a half. But I really believe, and again, this won't be written for 10 or 15 years, but I think this is going to be a fight for the soul of Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I know this is a Lakers town. It's always going to be a Lakers town. No, no, no. The richest man in sports runs the Clippers. And he's not here. He's here to conquer. Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And to topple. And so Julius Caesars is sitting over there, LeBron and the Lakers, and his little LeBron small council is Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Linda Rambis, and Kurt Rambis versus this new up-and-coming guy that wants the throne. I'm Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, and Steve Ballmer. These guys are the Lakers are going down big time, and it could be historic. We could be sitting here 15 years from now, man, you know when everything changed is when Kawhi came here with Paul George, and now it's a Clippers town.
Man, let me add a little to that. That's amazing. You up here preaching the gospel, damn it.
Like, but you don't get offered $900 and pay $2 billion and not want to win. He's coming to conquer.
Oh, he's coming to conquer. Look, let's talk about this owner. This is an owner, I think he was 11th into Microsoft, and he has $44 billion. Rest in peace to Paul Allen, who was 2 into Microsoft. A lot of those guys sold their stock. They wasn't going to weather the storm. Hey, remember Apple came back.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And he outlasted those who were there first. This is a guy who will not only conquer, but persevere. Just about him. That's why he has these riches. He stayed the course. Mm-hmm. 2, this is the first time I'm born and bred L.A., that there is a real rivalry in Staples. This is the first time there's a real rivalry in basketball. The Clippers have never been great when the Lakers were great. The Lakers have been great much longer than the Clippers. This is the first time we got a real balance of power in least perception. And last but not least, Christmas Day. I'm going to apologize to my family and my little man right now.
But when the Clippers play the Lakers, ain't no presents getting open.
You should have preseason tickets, man.
They should give you some.
They should give you season. Hey, y'all need to give him season tickets. Must have been fighting for y'all through the ups and the downs.
I don't even need it.
Look out for my man.
This is going to be the first time I tailgate a basketball game.
How about this? How about that? The fact that now, let's look at the corporate pressure. The Clippers are now putting pressure on the Lakers to step up. Because before this trade, the Lakers were still comfortable.
What
was going on, the Clippers were still a side note in regards to where they were at.
Marketing.
Because they didn't have that player. Mm-hmm. Now them having the 2 players along with everything else, it was always pressure about Ballmer coming in, okay? But because they weren't winning, it wasn't the same. Now it puts so much more pressure on the organization to have to do better, to have to step up their game like the Clippers. So it's going to be interesting not just to see what happens on the court, but also what happens in that front office at the Lakers now that the Clippers are there.
Well, Jim, that was going to be my next point in terms of Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer. They're all on the same page. Yep. If things go sideways over for the Lakers, a lot of finger pointing. Who's going to take the blame for the fall of the Lakers? You think LeBron James is going to take that? No, trade me. Get me up out of here. You think this – I mean, see – what's happening now could be the beginning of the end for Jeannie Buss.
Or it could go to the other side if they do the right thing. It could catapult them to make sure that their corporate standing is taken care of. It could go either way.
No, I'm with Whitlock. There's instability in the structure.
I know, but the pressure can make them rethink about how they went about operating because it's more pressure on
their
side.
They got a coach that half of them don't even want.
Man, that's what I said.
More than half.
Y'all remember in the 80s they had that show That's Incredible?
Yeah.
And they used to always have the dominoes just falling and spelling out stuff.
Yeah.
Mesmerized. Right. Look at that. But if you ever saw the wobbly domino, it's a wrap. It ain't gonna last. And this is what it is.
Right.
You got a coach in Frank Vogel who got to look over his back, walk out of meetings backwards because Jason Kidd up in there, right? You got Rob Pelinka who know he's hanging on by a thread by every move, every transaction.
Right.
Finger pointing. So when they fight through that storm, who's going to be left standing versus the Clippers? You know they're going to stick together.
Look, they were in a fight to get Kawhi Leonard. And again, they got this uncontrollable Magic Johnson, face of the franchise guy that quit on them. But they're in a fight to get Kawhi. And Magic's leaking stuff everywhere. Hey, I just got off the phone with Kawhi. This is what we talked about. Right. He had this and that for dinner. And it's like, the Lakers are not on the same page.
Yeah.
The Clippers are. And I just think the Clippers have partnered with the right guy. Because, I made this point this weekend. Somebody interviewed me. And they were like, isn't it amazing that Kawhi kept everything quiet? And I go, no, not really. I said, because what it tells you is, all the noise around these other teams, all the leaks around these other, it's intentional. Mm-hmm. They want that noise out there. They're leaking information intentionally. Yes. If you don't want it out, it don't come out.
Right.
Any of my business that I want private,
it's private.
It's private.
Right.
Don't nobody know what happened with me and my girl, but me.
You know what? You taking me to confessions. I must confess. As a San Diego Charger, I was the unnamed source. Jim Trotter knows. I'll be on the phone with him every Monday. Man, let me tell you about this Drew Brees moment.
Hey, but you know, to back it up, I got the contact here with the Clippers. Didn't hear a word. I'm talking about deep contact. So it just reiterates your point.
This is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself, and I got a website you have to visit, pristine.com. Pristine Auction has daily auctions ending nightly and with a dollar starting bids. Authenticity is important to Pristine Auction. They guarantee authenticity and come with authentication from only the most trusted sources. Pristine auctions are affordable. Most people don't think they can afford this stuff, but it is much more affordable than you think. A signed Ray Lewis Baltimore Ravens jersey sold for under $100. A Mike Tyson autographed boxing glove sold for under $100. It's quick and free to register, free to bid, and you only pay if you win. Use registration code when joining pristine.com. That's pristine.com. And new users will receive a $5 auction credit. Again, you'll get a $5 auction credit when you register using the code SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K, to sign up for pristine.com. That's pristine.com.
Jim Jackson and Steven Jackson are back. Time now for a big story. All right, let's move to Oklahoma City, where Paul George left Russell Westbrook in the dust over the weekend, heading for the greener pastures in L.A. with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Reportedly, Westbrook and the Thunder are now working on finding him a way out of OKC, and there appears to be mutual interest between Westbrook and the Miami Heat, where he could be teamed up with Jimmy Butler in a remake of Dumb and Dumber. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
I'm just reading what's in the script.
You put it in there.
All right, Russell Westbrook, can he reinvent himself as a basketball player?
I want to defend him so bad.
Come on.
I love him.
I got him.
L.A. Okay, good. You're going to need to get him. He can't reinvent himself. A lot of this is a perception issue in the first place. We're putting an inordinate amount of blame on Russell Westbrook, when in reality, we know it's not all on Westbrook. A lot of this is circumstantial. Let's just be real about this. What's the three most important factors in real estate? Location. Where the hell is OKC? Oh, we know where it is. So one, bing, they already come up to bat with a strike. In terms of free agents, in terms of big-time superstars. Let's just be real about it. So then, let's talk about this organization.
They had three MVPs, but go ahead.
Oh, and then how did they leave? And did they get the organization? This is where I really want to focus on I get to Westbrook. Did Kevin Durant return them any riches when he left? No, organization, come on, do better. Okay, Victor Oladipo, you just traded him away. You got some things back in return, but did y'all hold on to him? James Harden, did you hold on to him? He wanted $4 million a year, and you said, no, go, James Harden, find greener
pastures. We'd rather
pastures.
Keep Ibaka.
I'm just going to say, this organization has really made tremendous missteps that has landed on
Russell. No one wants to play with Russ.
Russell Westbrook. All I'm going to say is Russell Westbrook is a player that is going to go down in history taking a lot more criticism, i.e. Carmelo Anthony, than necessarily deserved, and it's unfortunate.
Carmelo's a good comparison.
Well, let's go. I'm going to start with the organization. They had three MVPs. I was on the team when we had them up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals with James, Russ, and KD. They came back and beat us four games straight with Tim Duncan. Four games straight. The following season, they had a chance to keep James, like you said. They wanted to keep Nick Collison. They wanted to make him happy. They wanted to make Serge Ibaka happy. I like Serge. And they wanted to keep Kendrick Perkins happy. Where's my little brother? But you have the opportunity to keep James, Russ, and KD together.
Steve.
That was a bad move by Sam Presti.
KD just left Westbrook because he couldn't play with him. Now Paul George just left.
I'm going to ask you a question. Let me finish. Where have we read that it came out of KD's mouth? Hold on. James' mouth or somebody else that he played with that said, he's a bad teammate, I don't want to play with him. Nobody's never heard that.
KD's one of his little business associates.
I know him very well. He was never on that sideline. He never received a pass from Russ. He never played with Russ. So I respect his opinion because he's been around Russ and KD. But at the same time, I've never heard no player in the NBA say I don't want to play with him. Now, if any player, being a player, seeing Russ, Any player in the NBA, that a guy that averages a triple-double and knows that he cares, when there's so many guys in the NBA that's in the game for the wrong reasons, they would love to play with Russ. And if he gets the chance to go to Miami, he would get appreciated because Pat Riley appreciates guys like Russell Westbrook.
Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I got a lot to say. I'm going to let y'all go.
It's a weird dynamic because there's two things. And I'm going to address the organizational part.
Please.
The challenge they had at the time with Ibaka or Harden was that the two teams in front of them were San Antonio and the Lakers, who were bigs. So they were caught in between. Do I keep a six-man that I can go get somebody to score 15 points, or do I have my centers in place that's going to battle against San Antonio and against the Lakers? So I kind of understand why they made the decision based on who they had to go through to get to the finals. But as far as Westbrook is concerned, the toughest thing for me, because I love the person that he is and how he plays. Mm-hmm. I love the competitive nature that he has. My thing is that I said this before, and Steve, you can back this up. With Pop, you knew of certain things you couldn't get away with. You knew from the beginning, no matter how volatile, how competitive, what your nature was, mm-hmm. certain things you couldn't do.
Right.
Russ has never had that situation cast upon him from the time he's gotten into the league. So he developed some bad habits, okay? Mm-hmm. You develop bad habits, it comes back to haunt you. We've seen it a lot of times with the turnover, some bad decisions, yes. all of those things, yes. okay? That's partly on the organization, but that's also partly on Russ by not growing through that as a basketball player. Mm. I do believe, for me, by playing in Miami with Pat Riley, if he gets to a situation like that, if they can figure out how to work around their cap space situation, that the different mindset that is down in Miami, one of the best organizations in sports, mm-hmm. okay? The accountability aspect.
They're gonna hold him accountable.
Is so different that now Russ is forced to have to change some things about his personality, but more importantly, how he approaches the game. Mm. I love to see him in that situation so we can all answer the question whether he can reinvent himself. Because we don't know right now.
Jimmy Butler gonna help
him. And so I'm someone that disagrees with you, Mark. I do think he can reinvent himself. And I think he needs to. Mm. And I think that, again, I don't like giving up. And Russ is still relatively young, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm 52. He's a young person. And I've made some changes in my 30s. I think he can. I think the Heat will help a lot. Pat Riley and that. I think they'll play a 20% role if he went to the Heat in changing him. But mostly I think Russ is going to have to change because Russ is going to want to change. I hope he doesn't get caught up in everybody that says it's the organization, it's Billy Donovan, mm-hmm. it's this, it's that. Russell Westbrook needs to look in the mirror, and I think he's going to be forced to say, damn, I'm the common denominator. Great players keep exiting me. And if you turn the damn film on, he plays stupid and forces guys to get...
Wick, come on, Wick. Hold
he
on,
plays,
hold
he hold plays on, hard, but he Wick. Don't play smart. You he's about to change.
You can't average a triple-double 3 years playing stupid in the NBA.
Oh,
first
yes
off.
You can, with
second,
effort.
Second, Russ, this was a blessing in disguise for him because he don't look bad in this. He was being loyal. Y'all showing me y'all not about winning. So this is a blessing in disguise for him to start over and go somewhere else. This
and play a different style of basketball. That stat padding is great. It gets talked about on TV, but it don't win nothing.
It's not stat padding to me. It's called playing harder than everybody else. Well, look, if you can go get a triple-double, you go get it.
But
there.
Stack, you got to translate that. You got to materialize that because he's been out in the first round the last 3 years since KD left first round.
Okay, so
I'm with you.
Can say that.
No, I get you. But when you say winning,
don't have Paul George,
it's a lot of guys that don't have championships. That's
put
up numbers.
But Jax, when you say winning, then there's like winning to what level, what degree? We should be winning more, and we're not. And this is why I disagree with you two about he's going to change if he gets in a different circumstance. If he changes with that personality that fuels that motor that we have not seen in the NBA in a long time, you know what that means? Him changing is an admission that I've been wrong. That's an admission that he's been doing something the wrong way. And guess what? This is not a guy who's going to admit that he's done something wrong because in his eyes, he's done what like Stax has said. Triple doubles and put us in a position to win it. And Karen, what am I doing wrong? It's on y'all. Y'all don't want the smoke.
You said something right, though. And at 41, and he'll tell you, since the big three, I made changes. When I'm worrying about the referees mm-hmm. and worrying about all stuff I don't control, I play like trash. I shouldn't even be on the court. The last 2 years, I've been focusing on just basketball and my game has went through the roof. And that's what Russ needed to do. Like you said, he got to look himself in the mirror and understand that you got to stop worrying about stuff that you can't control. And that's a lot of his problems come from that.
I don't think Russell Westbrook he doesn't have that issue of focus. He doesn't have the issue like I'm caught up in other things. Those things are not distractions to him. Matter of fact, he runs in and bulldozes through them. This is a different psychology. This is, in a lighthearted way, this is the husband in the car knowing he going the wrong way and ain't going to ask his wife for directions. He like, you know what? We just going to ride. We're going to find our way.
We'll figure it out.
We're going to figure out. I think Russell Westbrook is of that psychology.
And you know what? And when your wife isn't Halle Berry, you can do that. But Pat Riley is the Halle Berry of the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Jim, what I think is like, Pat Riley's going to have some real tough discussions with Russ that I don't think OKC was willing to have.
But he'll respect it, though, because it's coming from Pat Riley.
He'll respect it. This is how Pat is. The beauty about Pat Riley is this. From 1 through 15, everybody is held accountable. When I was there, he was on Alonzo's butt like no other because he knew in order for everybody else to be in line, he had to get on Alonzo.
You got to go through it.
It was times when we would practice that I had him as a coach, not executive, on the floor where he may not say anything to you, okay? But then later on that night, he may treat you to dinner. Then the next day on the bus to shoot around, may not say anything. Mm-hmm. He always kept you off balance. But one thing he wanted you to do, play the game the right way. Okay, I want you to play the game the right way and play hard. You do that and be a professional on and off the court. And the conversation that if it does happen with Russ is this. This is how we do things here in Miami. Ask LeBron. Ask LeBron. This is how we do things here. It's not contingent upon one player, okay? It's contingent upon the 15 guys that are signed up. We're going to continue to move with or without you. Yep. Either you can come in line or you can't. But this is how we do things. And if you do things the right way, you're going to be successful now while you play, but more importantly, when you get done, because Mickey Erickson going to take care of you.
That's what Russ needs, though. He needs that.
But that's my point.
That's what he needs.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. Big shout out to the U.S. women for their second straight Women's World Cup and a fourth overall with their win over the Netherlands on Sunday. We also want to congratulate our Fox family for all their hard work covering the event. Great job. All right, the next big Fox event is tonight.
Yeah.
The stars shine bright as the best in the majors celebrate the Midsummer Classic, the MLB All-Star Game, tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on Fox. All right, joining us for a preview live from Cleveland is friend of the show and Fox Sports MLB analyst Nick Swisher.
Swizzy.
Nick, welcome back. All right, Justin Verlander.
Thank you, my friends. Good to see you guys, man.
Good to see you. Mm-hmm. Nick, Justin Verlander started tonight for the AL, but he made headlines this week when he said the juice baseballs are causing the surge in home runs this season. You buying Verlander's theory?
Well, there has to be something to it. There's no doubt about it. This man's been pitching for 12, 13 years right now. I mean, he definitely knows what a baseball is supposed to feel like in his hand, right? The commissioner says the scientists say nothing's happened. But then again, on the other side, he says the drag of the baseball is less. I mean, let's be honest. These baseball guys have been throwing baseballs for years. They know exactly what it should feel like. And on the other side of things, Major League Baseball is on pace to hit around 7,000 home runs this year. I do know this. I know the commissioner likes offense, and when he showed up, we instantly had offense. So there has to be a little something to what Verlander is saying. This man knows what he's doing, and like he said, hey, baseball, we're not idiots.
Listen, I believe Justin. The question I have, is this the right thing for baseball? Does it make it more exciting? Does it make it more watchable? Will it attract more fans?
Well, I mean, if you're asking the old-time guys, I mean, they would definitely say no. But if you're asking a guy like me, I'm just jealous I'm not still playing. I know that. I mean, players are bigger, faster, and stronger now. The velocity game has gone up. I mean, we saw the Futures game here the other night. Every kid going out there is throwing any.
Uh-oh, did we? I think we lost. We may have lost Nick.
Yep. Can't talk about baseball's being corked and spiked.
All right.
Let's see.
Let's thank Nick. And coming up, Marcellus and Ice Cube got into a heavyweight showdown on Twitter. We'll tell you who came out on top. TV's hottest look at social media. Nerds! Hi, I'm Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Or any bald spots yet? How would you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Well, thanks to science, baldness can be optional.
4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review and prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. See website for full details and safety information. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/man. That's 4hims.com, FORHIMS.com/man. 4hims.com/man.
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Mm-hmm. The most fun you can have talking sports. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson is back. We're joined now by Super Bowl champion, Heisman Trophy winner, Reggie Bush.
Dude.
Time to get antisocial.
Look at that. That ain't Reggie got, over there.
Ready?
Ready?
He ate Reggie.
Hey, D, it's crazy.
I saw
right
you
now.
The other day when you were hitting the.
Yeah. Bro. Oh,
I'm getting ready, man. You getting ready?
You got that pool party coming you up with 20.
You had 60s. I had like 25.
Yeah. It's levels. It's cool.
That boy is fresh off the bench press.
Yeah.
You mean fresh off the bench press.
Oh, look at him.
Oh, I didn't even know that was happening.
Oh, let me see. Let me see.
My fault.
Terry Crews, go ahead.
Terry Crews.
All right, man. We're going to start with a little West Coast beef. Our guy Marcellus hasn't stopped tweeting since it was announced that Kawhi and PG were headed to the Clippers. And yesterday, he decided to take a little shot at two of the biggest Lakers fans, Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg, posting these photos of them repping other teams and tweeting, "When your favorite rappers ain't nothing but actors, like they really Lakers fans." Q clapped back with his own family pick saying, "Which fam was on their way to see game 7 in the NBA Finals? And which fam is going to see their team get knocked out in the second round again?"
Bro.
Couldn't take the L and responded to Q's tweet saying, "Ha, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is like 6 years old in this pick. This so long ago, he's playing you in movies, man." Wiley and Q have kept going back and forth even today.
Man.
I want to ask the rest of you guys, who won this battle?
Bro, you call Snoop Dogg fake? That's crazy.
Man, Snoop Dogg's so fake, man. He ain't been in Long Beach so long, man.
I thought I was beefing with Laker fans, too. I start realizing these Warrior fans, you a real Clipper fan. I thought I was really going, like, I'm trying to build up a rivalry, but I can't figure out what team they rooting for, man.
I got to give love and hands down to my man Marcellus because he always, don't change.
Right.
Yeah.
Clipper, it don't change. Nothing, you know what I mean? So, My man. Now, he got you with the bell bottoms at the end. We didn't show that part about the bell bottoms.
He's looking like a real.
He got you with that one.
That was a good
clap back on
my
that.
My dog don't even look like an athlete in this bitch. I'm a little shocked right
Reggie,
now.
That's like, after we lost to Houston after being up 3-1. I had a big burrito. You was going through it.
I looked like a stay-at-home dad.
Exactly, right? Boy, eating good at home, boy.
That was hurt. These dudes are fake, man. First of all, I love Cube. I saw Snoop last night, man. These are my homies. Respect. I'm just amazed that I'm even calling them my homies because I grew up listening to them.
Yeah.
They my all-timers. That said, they some fraud fans.
Fraud.
I mean, wait till it's football season. Snoop don't even know I got one.
He's a Steeler fan.
No, you think so?
Snoop is a Steeler. He a diehard Steeler fan.
I know
Steeler
he talk about that. He do.
But I ain't seen him wearing a Raider gear.
I'm loaded.
He always got a Steeler gear.
I've seen Snoop in a lot of different jerseys.
A lot of different jerseys. I got receipts, bro.
A lot of different jerseys.
Y'all calling Snoop the original Drake?
Come on, man. Come on.
Man, they both. They good ass.
Hey, Snoop started singing though later on, though. You gotta think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He starts singing.
Hey, Doughboy in Boys in the Hood, he a good actor. And he doing that with his fans. He a good actor, dog. This dude ain't really about this.
So these are the first two that'll jump ship over to the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
When things go bad for the Lakers, they're going to be right there.
Billy Crystal, move over, man. Clipper Darryl, move over. Here come Cube, Snoop.
No, LA Sports is back.
They all, man.
Next!
All right, man, staying in L.A., Well, my guy Kyle Kuzma has had a great offseason. Mm. We know he was one of the only young Lakers who didn't get sent away in the Anthony Davis trade. Mm. And now, it looks like he's dating Kendall Jenner. Mm. They were spotted hanging out on the yacht during the 4th of July. First off, Kuzma, I see you, my guy. But last time I checked, there's been a lot of, you know, baggage and drama that comes with dating a Kardashian. So, should the Lakers be concerned with the Kardashian coach?
Lamar Odom played his best when he was married to Courtney. Courtney?
Chloe.
Chloe.
Why you look at me?
Because you know that.
Hey, he did. We had to get it.
Well, no, I can't even look straight at me.
I had to get it.
I said earlier, I know why I got me here today because of this question right here.
You know what? Sometimes this actually hurts me a little bit. Like, I know this is all fun and games, but y'all, we calling the whole family a curse when you.
Bro.
Kuzma can't go too many places and find someone he even thinks is, like, you know, comparable. What's wrong with dating them, man?
Bro.
It's a problem?
Let me tell you something.
I don't see it's a problem.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go.
You don't see it's a problem.
I don't see it.
You didn't see it's a problem.
I didn't see it's a problem. I won a Super Bowl. So,
Thank you. The next point
I was going to make was.
But he got out, too. He know when to get up. He got out. He saw it coming.
Man, y'all better get me in trouble today.
Be careful now. Yeah.
Well, all I can say is, look, at the end of the day, man up. You know what I'm saying? Take care of business on the basketball court.
Thank you
ain't got to worry about that.
All right. But here's the thing. The precedent has been set already. James Harden said, I played my best basketball when I chose the exit stage left.
Oh, stop that.
That's what he said.
I know he said that, but that's what he said. That is a coincidence.
Harden was already a dog.
I'm going to give you this. It's real with them. It's three things undefeated. Death, taxes, and you know the other part.
With
the Kardashians. Three things undefeated.
Man, they got billionaires in their family.
And it don't matter what happens.
You say
Tristan
death,
Thompson,
taxes, what?
Stuff that goes on, people still want to put their, you know, dip that toe in the water. I don't care. I'm still going to do it. No matter what's out there.
I'm in real trouble because I'm going to make the point. Kendall Jenner, she's team light skin, huh? Blake Griffin.
She got a type.
Kyle Kuzma.
She got a type.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, she got a type.
You got a type, too. Blake Griffin. Any Anita Baker looking?
Hey, Jim, you ain't qualified.
I'm light skin. Hey, bro, I ain't walking the green mile, bro.
Man, that family is successful. They got the best job in the world.
What is that?
Which is just being yourself and getting paid. Like, going to brunch, and that's money. Like, just chilling, that's money.
That's money.
Like, just smiling, that's money. And on top of that, they look good. Clown what you want. That's a good-looking family that's winning.
I will say this, though. Dudes look at the perks and the benefits of being with them. Because if they want to go to that PJ and say, we're going to the island next week, guess what? But you know what I'm saying? Here's the question before you do it. Do the perks outweigh the other stuff that come with it?
What other stuff? I'm already famous. If I'm Kyle Kuzma, I can't walk down the street.
The drama that come with Tristan.
What? That's Tristan Thompson. He's stupid, but
Tristan
I'm just saying.
Hold on.
Darnell, you're a Lakers fan, the only one here.
Yes, sir.
Are you worried about the curse?
Tell the truth.
Honestly, I am, man.
I am. Here, young man.
Facts are facts. James Harden didn't play well. Brooke Lopez wasn't playing well. Everybody who's dating Kardashian is seeing going through it.
Ben Simmons.
Chris Humphrey.
Ben Simmons can't shoot.
Ben Simmons still can't shoot.
I guarantee you next year he's going to start shooting threes next year.
He's about to become a pure shooter.
You better blame LSU. That ain't no
hurt. Man, y'all better stop, man.
All right, we better get out of this before we all get fired.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie get in trouble.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
Ooh,
Darnell, take it away.
Oh, I'm on fire. All right, guys, so the NBA free agency has been wild. I mean, almost making more noise than the actual season itself. Mm-hmm. We all know that football is king in the U.S., but there's been a lot of talk online that the NFL is not on the same level as the NBA in terms of the offseason. So I want to ask you guys, does the NBA have a better offseason than the NFL?
No. Hell no. Hell no. Yeah, the NBA does a nice little job when it's off season.
Little job.
Nice little job.
Like how he look a lot better than you, not a little.
He did a lot better this offseason. Did OBJ not go to the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
Do they not have the NFL draft every year, which dwarfs any of this we talking about?
Good point.
It does.
You know, Antonio Brown just joined the Raiders.
Yep.
Le'Veon Bell's
in the
Jets.
And they're going to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Look, I'm actually with you, but you yelling at me like Wait, what are you yelling at?
Wait a minute.
I will say this. Look, we just witnessed some of the greatest players switch teams, and that's amazing. But that used to be commonplace for the NFL. Remember whole Super Bowl teams were going to poach that roster.
Yeah.
And remember every year we would see, I mean, we see Joe Montana leaving off seasons.
Yep.
Bruce Smith and Hall of Fame guys.
Deion
switching back. The NFL's so used to this that it seems like it's bigger. Yeah. The NBA just got to this.
I will say this, though. From a player's perspective, the NBA is way better. They got guaranteed contracts.
Oh, yeah, you're going there.
They could block. They got the no trade clause. They could block trade clauses in there.
Yeah.
Keep going. What else?
The best thing that the NBA has over us is when we get hit, it's the next play. When they get hit, they get
free
throws.
You could play 15, you can play 15 years.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you could play 15
Man,
years.
Man, that's the best thing.
The thing about it for me is like this. Comparing Good Morning America, the ratings always going to be there. I don't care what show comes.
Yeah.
This summer was more like a soap opera for the NBA with all the drama going on, all the stuff. We didn't know who was going where. So I think it played to the fact that it gave us something that we didn't know what was going to happen, where KD was going, where Kyrie. Yeah. Especially at the end with this bomb with Kawhi and also with Paul George.
I mean, literally, the Kawhi thing, there was only one person in America that knew where he was going. Yeah. It's amazing. Go ahead,
my dog! He called that.
Hey, only one
no
person
one
in America.
Brian Windhorst, my dog. I love
Hold
him.
On,
he
all
never
of
did
them.
That.
But that, it was the soap, I think, but you got to give the NBA credit from this because they took a page out of the NFL's book in regards to stretching out the time period in which you keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
And they did it with the, you know, the draft, free agency, and also summer league. Once we get back to the season, it's all about football, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bottom line. But they did a great job with this soap opera.
This is an all-time high seeing this many great players switching teams like this. I can't remember any other time period of the year where it was like this.
I'm going to give the NBA this credit, what's happened this offseason. It's like they created a whole new narrative. We went from super teams to dynamic duos. Mm-hmm. It's Batman and Robin now in the NBA.
Yep.
And I think that is great for the NBA.
Yeah.
I've never been more excited for an NBA season since my Pacers and Reggie Miller and them used to compete for it. But in 15 years, this is the most excited I've been for an NBA season.
Do you think the East, do you think the East will win the championship? Because I think the West is so stacked.
No,
it's
going to
be a while.
It's
Clippers?
West. Yeah.
Yeah, it's West now. One thing that I will say in terms of structure, the NFL needs to catch up on social media, and it's their own doing.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA has an open-end server. They let you retweet, Google.
You know how that sounds to me?
What?
Yeah, the NFL needs to get on crack cocaine.
I'm just telling you, what is sports code?
Look how much fun they having on crack.
There's positive sides to the crack.
I'm going
to
tell you something, but football players are more volatile, I think, from an emotional perspective, because football players, if they start getting out, the beauty about the NBA, David Stern did a great job of marketing the guy, the name on the back in the 80s. He had to. He had no choice. It's hard for the NFL to transition away from
y'all
that.
Y'all didn't hear what I just said.
What?
Because the NBA lets anyone do whatever they want with their content, allowing everyone to do is create greater story and interest.
Yeah.
Why are we even having a conversation NFL, NBA when we know there's really not an economic conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because the story is closing that gap. Be careful, NFL. Open up the story.
Great story. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Whitlock and Wiley, Reggie Bush is back. We're joined now by former Pro Bowl linebacker Sean Merriman. Let's move to Baker Mayfield, who had an eventful weekend getting married in Malibu on Saturday. But Baker wasn't the only one making a vow. This weekend, his good friend Mark Wahlberg told TMZ that the Browns quarterback would be the heir to Tom Brady's throne as the face of the NFL. But a local Browns blog actually disputed Wahlberg's claim, saying, Baker's too polarizing to fill Tom Brady's shoes. I don't buy this at all. Mm-hmm. I think it being polarized is actually a good thing for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just two criteria to be the face of the NFL, or one of the faces. One is you got to ball out. Like, you got to be there. We got to be able to depend on you because we have to market you for years to come. Two, you got to have that bandwidth. And I don't think polarizing is the word that you should apply here. This is a guy who has the bandwidth to reach, let's be real, my demo, which is inner city, urban, yo, Baker Cabal, like that
right,
kind
right,
of
right, right, right.
And then also where he's from down south, and all the guys from that in rural areas who are like, he puts up some good numbers, doesn't he? And you know, you got to respect that we are all in agreement with a pizzazz. This may be premature, but I'm going to say it. Joe Namath 2.0 coming, rock star status.
Yeah.
Like, I was, candidly, I was with Jarvis Landry last night talking off mic. Basically, he was talking of the spirit of this team.
Yeah.
And everyone's feeling confident. They're like, we're saying these things because we believe. And why do we believe? Because of our QB.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has all these guys who've been in the league, veterans, now thinking of greater aspirations, he got a special sauce in him.
Yeah, I was at the Thursday night game. We had the Thursday night game last year where he took over. And there was just something different in that game. When he stepped on that field, the electricity was different. It was almost like he was the savior for the city of Cleveland and completely changed the game. Like, all of a sudden, he had passing protection. He could throw the football down the field.
Right.
Like, everything opened up, and you just saw Jekyll and Hyde, right? Like, you saw the first half didn't really go well where they couldn't move the football, and then all of a sudden Baker steps in and it's like, this is how the game is supposed to be played, right? And this is how a quarterback should lead his team to victory.
Yeah, the more I hear Mark Wahlberg say this, the more I wish he'd just take that fight with Conor McGregor. I just want to see it happen now. And I get it, Mark Wahlberg and Tom Brady, they're boys, they're really close friends, I get that, but There's nothing, no similarities between Baker Mayfield and Tom Brady.
None.
There's none. Other than them being, you know, Baker Mayfield possibly being a really good quarterback or could possibly be great. That's the only similarity. I don't see anything else. He's too outspoken.
Yeah.
He speaks his mind. Mm-hmm. He handles negativity completely different. And he's more of an individual of his own kind. You're going to know Baker Mayfield, and I'm saying this because I spent a lot of time around you, he'll tell you exactly what he's feeling. Yeah. Tom Brady will avoid it. He'll stay, you know, on the up and up. He won't go towards any controversy. Baker Mayfield actually accepts it.
Yeah.
He takes it on a different way. So they're two totally different.
But does that exclude him from being the face of the NFL?
Yeah, but you can't.
It does?
No, but you can't compare. What I'm saying is if you're going to compare the two, right, and I'm not talking about playing levels or anything like that, he's more of what you said, right? He's more of a Phillip Rivers. He's more of somebody in that locker room that the team follows and they rally behind, and he'll go out and be outspoken. He'll talk. He'll be in front of everything. And Tom Brady kind of just sits in the back, answer the questions the way he has to answer them. He doesn't say anything right or wrong. He's always right down the middle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to compare him as a possible great quarterback, I understand that. But don't use Tom Brady as kind of hand in the throne because it's two total different people.
Yeah.
I get your point. You think, hey, he can be a big deal in the NFL, but it'll be completely different than Tom Brady. And that's one of the reasons why I agree with Mark Wahlberg. We're in a different time now.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, boy next door, All-American, a bit humble, stays out of controversy. I like to call Baker Mayfield Little Smokey because he loves smoke.
Yeah.
And if you just understand the times that we're in, there's Big Smokey in the White House.
Yeah.
Era of smoke.
Right.
And this dude, again, the thing that you're talking about, Marcellus, is like, everybody likes this kind of smoke.
Everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In the hood and out in the sticks.
It's like incense.
Yeah.
You know, incense. Right. Everybody like incense. You're on Prince Charles, you're like, I got to buy 100 packs of these.
Right.
I will say this, Whitlock, that this is a guy that when we talk about Tom Brady, let's not act like he is apple pie.
Because in the rivalry with him and Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah, they were going at it.
Peyton was the apple pie. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady, we try to give him the edge and the sword. But now we're going to juxtapose that to Baker Mayfield. Like you said, there's an evolution of this.
Yeah.
I think the graduation of the NFL is going to be, let's bring one in that has a little risque and just see how that plays.
But this is what more and more quarterbacks are looking like as well, right? Like, more and more quarterbacks are looking like
Russell Wilson, like Baker Mayfield. They're playing like them too. It's becoming harder and harder to find guys like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning, that are just strictly pocket passer quarterbacks. So to me, I think that Baker can be the face of the NFL.
I'm going to say the polarization won't stop him.
Right.
The issue that Baker Mayfield has is the dude in Kansas City. And he doesn't have his talent.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. No. Now, he may have a better story.
Mm-hmm.
And he, the little dude and taking on the big, tough NFL and all his personality. But that kid in Kansas City has so much talent that we just never seen before.
Yeah.
That, to me, will be the obstacle of whether he's the face of the league. Because you got to, again, and we love the story of race. This will be the greatest black quarterback perhaps ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that I see the NFL getting behind. I don't see the other way around.
You ready for this? NFL knows this. These are the real metrics out there. It's happening at the youth level. You talk about how Baker Mayfield is now. What's next is there's going to be – part of it is color, but it's by position. Tight ends and wide receivers, if you're 6'4 through 6'6, you're not even looking at that position anymore. They're turning into quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's why the 2.0 quarterback is now going to be norm. Watch the high school level, and it's going to college. You're starting to see these top talents are going to be athletic beasts. Mm-hmm. What's going to come with that is a different personality. Yep. So we're going to go from Peyton Manning, apple pie. Then we're going to go to Tom Brady, a little something different, but still apple pie. Then the Baker. Oh, that's a good segue into what's coming next.
Yep.
Right. You know what's coming.
All right, before we go, I want to tip my hat to the World Cup winning U.S. women's soccer team, not for their record-breaking run to their second consecutive title. No, that was easy and predictable. The passing of Title IX in 1972 pretty much guaranteed that we would one day dominate the world in women's soccer. For American women, soccer is our football. It is our national pastime for young girls. No, what I want to do is congratulate these 23 members of our national team is for their ability to turn their record-breaking performance against overmatched competition into a clever negotiating ploy for reparations. When the U.S. women's national team finished dusting off the Netherlands in the World Cup final on Sunday, their supporters immediately started shouting, "Equal pay!" The members of the team have convinced themselves and their supporters that they are being exploited by the U.S. Soccer Federation because they don't earn as much money as their far less successful men's team. This is not true. The women are not exploited. They're not paid unfairly. They're paid exactly what their union negotiated for competing in a sport that hasn't fully matured internationally. Women's soccer, in comparison to men's, is a new business, a startup. The first Women's World Cup happened in 1991, 61 years after the first Men's World Cup. The first U.S. Women's National Soccer Team played in 1985, 100 years after the first U.S. Men's Team. The Men's World Cup in Russia generated $6 billion in revenue. This past Women's World Cup is expected to generate $131 million. FIFA, the governing body of the sport, showers the men's team with far more money than the women. Men's international soccer is the World Series of poker. The stakes are enormous, and so are the payouts. Right now, women's international soccer is a game of poker among a handful of friends in someone's basement. I get it. Our women are poker sharks, and our men are fish. But our men are swimming in the deepest part of the ocean while the women hunt close to the shore. Degree of difficulty matters. Title IX and this country's liberation of women puts us far ahead of our international competition. There's a reason we beat Thailand by a World Cup record 13-0. There's a reason we've never trailed in this year's World Cup and in all but one game scored a goal within the first 12 minutes. The competition was embarrassingly inferior. We could have routed more teams than just Thailand. We're getting the exact results we paid for. Title IX created hundreds of women's college soccer programs, which are far better funded than the men's. Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan aren't treated unfairly in the all-important development stages. They have a decided advantage over U.S. men. I get it. Our men had a 100-year head start. If the women want additional reparations for that crime, Title IX is the original reparations, then they should shout reparations 2.0 rather than equal pay. More Speak for Yourself after this. All right, you want to party like a football star?
Yes.
Well, no. Saturday, July 20th,
no.
At the one and only Dre's Beach Club on the Las Vegas Strip, you can join Ty Dolla $ign, that dude, Marcellus Wiley,
yeah.
And the entire Speak for Yourself crew at the pool party mm-hmm. of the summer. For tickets or more information, visit Dre's.com, Dre'sGroup.com.
Who is that with the suit on?
All right.
All of us.
All right, no,
that was somebody else with the suit on. Then.
Whitlock and Wiley, that was Uncle Jimmy. Jim Jackson and That's Steve Jackson code. Are back. Let's move to the Clippers, mm-hmm. who reshaped the NBA landscape this past weekend, reportedly landing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in a stunning move that adds arguably the best player on the planet and another perennial all-star to a playoff team with a championship-winning coach. Not surprisingly, Clipper fans and Paul George are pretty excited.
Looks like my boy is coming with me to L.A. Where are we going, cuz?
We coming home.
We coming home, cuz.
All right. New look Clippers, and we don't have a lot of time here. Are they the best team in the NBA? I think so, without question.
I forego my duty to testify because of bias. So,
plead the fifth.
Something we already know.
You already know they're the best team. I mean, at least the paper champions in the offseason. That matters. So.
No doubt, best team. And then I lost my bet, so.
Yes,
I lost my bet, so.
Yes.
Get it to my man Whip for predicting it.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say
on paper right now.
Yes, they are on paper.
On paper.
Yeah, they ain't playing
top to bottom.
Right
now. Why not?
They're probably the deepest team.
Definitely the deepest.
You know, who
definitely.
You got better?
Go.
Milwaukee.
Stop.
And the Lakers.
No.
Stop.
You just said that the Lakers had issues.
I'm not giving it to none of them. They have to go win it. I'm not giving it to nobody. They still got to go out there and win.
I think on paper they got. I mean, just because of who
paper,
they got.
It's a lot of teams look good on paper.
But that's what we can only talk about right now, because it's not a game. They're all 0-0 right now. So we have to talk about paper. Last year, I'll give you this. Toronto was not the paper champions at this time last year.
Right.
They became the material champions. They actually held up the trophy.
There's no such thing as a paper champion to me.
Stat.
You don't have a forecast?
Stat. You play defense. Man, they got Kawhi, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley.
That's why I'm so glad I wasn't working the last 2 weeks, because I had to get up here and make up stories about I knew somebody was going here, or he's going there. I'm glad I wouldn't have to work the last 2 weeks. I don't like making up stuff.
So you don't want to...
I speak off experience.
And so what?
I'm not making up nothing.
I just want to know, how can you speak on experience about teams that were newly constructed? We don't know what they're going to look like. So we got to just go out there and
because
say
my opinion is coming from text messages I'm showing you and opinions from them. It's not what I'm thinking.
You don't know. So right now, you don't think one team is better than the other going into next year? Yes, you do.
Yeah. They thought the Warriors, Mavs was better than us. And we beat them in the first round. And they had the best record in the league. That doesn't matter to me. It has to get done.
Okay, it matters to me. Can you answer this question?
Okay, all right.
Which team do you think is going to be the best?
I give you $1 billion to go bet on one team. Which team you bet?
Give me 100. I'll do it for 100. $100. I bet on the Clippers.
Thank you.
I bet on the Clippers.
Thank you.
Because they have their defense.
Because why my homeboy?
Man.
That's how I move.
That might be empty already.
Lou Williams is my homeboy, too.
Lou Williams is my homeboy, too.
Uncle Jimmy's here.
Most definitely.
Go ahead.
Most definitely.
Besides yourself, who's the big dummy of the day?
Big dummy of the day is the person that sit up here. I don't know how you got put on the list, but talking about, Kendall Jenner and the light skinned men, so we off the list. I'm sorry, bro. Was you ever on there?
Get him.
Get him. You was up there with Iceberg Jim Jackson, Marcus Wiley, and Reggie Bush. You was in there somehow or another?
All right, let me move on. Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Russell Westbrook.
Get him off.
Talk about inflated worth.
Get him off you. I love it.
Russell Westbrook needs to look in the mirror, and I think he's going to be forced to say, damn, I'm the common denominator. Great players keep exiting me.
A lot of this is circumstantial. Let's just be real about this. What's the three most important factors in real estate? Location, location, location. Where the hell is OKC?
All right, we had a pretty good discussion, Uncle Jimmy, about Russell Westbrook reinventing himself. Marcella says he can. I say he can. What's your take?
Did you say where in the hell is OKC?
Yeah.
About 4 hours that way from Kansas City.
Okay.
That's about all I can tell you.
That way.
You know, if I was Russell Westbrook, bro, Russell Westbrook, he okay. He all right.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, he ain't nobody ever going to confuse him with being the greatest of all times.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to compare him to somebody, I compare him to Ricky Bell. Ricky Bell from New Edition, not the football player.
Oh, all right. Well, go ahead.
That's who Russell Westbrook is.
Ooh,
he ain't no Johnny Gill. Mm. You know, that's Kevin Durant. I done told y'all that.
Yeah.
He definitely ain't no Ralph Tresvant. That's James Harden. Ooh, his beard looked nice. Man, he ain't even no Bobby Brown. Now, you know who Bobby Brown is. Mm. That's Kendrick Perkins. You know, Kendrick be like, hey, man, he sent me a text. Said he want me to come out of retirement. I'd do it for him.
Stop it,
too,
baby.
Because I rose like that.
Perk going to be on your head.
You better be careful, man.
He coming back.
I can't protect you from Perk.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell no.
Look, man, Ricky Bell always got one nice line in every song. You know, like in Can You Stand the Rain? Mm. You know, he got that one part. Because I want you and I need you and I love you. They're like, oh, go get it, Ricky. You know, so the question is, can Russ carry a franchise? Mm. Or can Russ reinvent himself? Mm. Could BBD, could Bell Biv DeVoe reinvent themselves? Hell no.
What? It was already a reinvention of New Edition. What you mean? Reinvent the reinvention?
Look here, man, I done seen, exactly. I done seen New Edition sell out the Staples Centers on multiple occasions. BBD couldn't sell out the House of Blues. Last time I seen them, I got tickets 15 minutes for the show and still got front row. And I got to sing a verse of Do Me Baby. Okay, but they did have that one good album.
Yeah.
You know, so whether it's going to be in Miami, Houston, or whatever, they going to get one good song out of Russell. But then they'll be asking Russ, damn, bro, when we going to see you smile again? Russ going to be like, but y'all know I messed up. Baby, and I know y'all fed up, sugar. Now, you know what their number one biggest seller was?
Poison.
Same thing Russell Westbrook is. Poison. Huh? Now, what they need to do is ship his ass off to Utah. They send that stadium the White House. You know? Hey, boy, them white folks get a hold of Russell Westbrook's ass, they do him like this. You'll start passing the ball. He'll start throwing assists. He starts smiling, doing good interviews, wearing real tight shorts. Black folks will look up, they done, oh, damn, he done changed Russell Westbrook into John Stockton. Then next thing he do, he get Becky with the good hair.
Oh, man.
He'll be all right. Oh. How'd that work for you, nephew? Huh? Hell, get your throat now. Spitters is for quitters. Keep going. Hey, man. What's wrong with you?
He gets sick every time I have an answer. You ain't sick.
I'm going to move to my approval rating. Cancel Jimmy.
Every time he don't want to answer.
My mama watched this show.
Listen, 46. I've dropped him in all-time greatness.
I'm not going to Vegas. Points. I can't go to Vegas with y'all.
Down two. To 46, and I'm leaving the
46? Why are you taking your stuff off, man? Come on. He got mega value still out there. Teams are clamoring for him. I did drop him to 79. Job performance, got to drop him for Dame Lillard. You saw how he exited the playoffs. Got a little of his game to work on. All-time greatness, had to drop him as well. Whatever the perception is, maybe it's reality. Stars not necessarily want to play with him. So 79 for Russell Westbrook. And that tour and that concert that's coming.
With family like Jimmy, who needs enemies?
Man.
Jason, we'll see you tomorrow.
Y'all crazy.